Greetings, you horror fanatics and fans. It's your host, Baron Craze, with another installment of the Baron Craze Visions of Horror. Season number one, episode 37, covering November 26th through December 2nd. We actually started the show with two bands. First up was Ground Meat with Pathological Silence. They are found on Facebook and Bandcamp. Then it was Hammer Cult with the track From Parts Unknown, the intro. That band is found on Bandcamp and Facebook, and thanks goes out to Steam Hammer, which is found on Instagram, Facebook, and Bandcamp. And as always, we always thank the labels, the PR companies, and the bands themselves for the permission to play their music. And we want you, the fans out there, if you like their music, please go and support these bands by buying their music. It's the only way they can entertain us all is with your support. With that, let's get into the week. On Sunday, November 26th, the film that I saw was none other than Of Unknown Origin, a 1983 film, rated R, 1 hour and 28 minutes in length, celebrating a 40-year anniversary. So, on Sunday, November 26th, I saw the film Unknown Origin from 1983, rated R, 1 hour and 28 minutes in length. The anniversary is 40 years. It's a horror thriller movie. Now, as for the director, I don't want to screw this up, so we're going to be using the Google Translator for a little help here. Because, you know, I always butcher names, and this time I'm not going to do that.
George P. Cosmatos.
Thank you very much. And for the writers, we have Brian Taggett and Chauncey G. Period Parker III. Then we have Peter Weller, Jennifer Dale, Lawrence Dane, Kenneth Welsh, and Louis Del Grande. The company that put it out was Warner Brothers. And a summary on the film: a man becomes destructively obsessed with killing a dangerous rat, which has taken residency in his recently renovated house. The internet rating for this, a little tongue-tied there, it was 6.1 out of 10. Release date originally was September 30th, 1983. We have four taglines. I'm going to tell you right now, I really don't like any of them. And I'll tell you why afterwards. So first up is the terrifying last word in Home Invasion from the director of Tombstone and Cobra. Second one: if it can't scare them to death, it will find another way. Number three: two forces have claimed the house. Only one will survive. And lastly, Peter Weller, RoboCop, turns his home into a battleground against an enemy. All right, let's go over the reasons why I don't like the taglines. The first one and the last one especially. You see, there's a little rule in taglines. And as a tagline doctor, I always avoid this. That's something I always do. It is giving you this image in your mind to think about films from a director or from another star, so that you get that thought in your head: oh, I like that movie, therefore I'll like this movie. You know, if I liked how the director did that film or this actor did this movie, then this is going to send me into what I'm watching. Okay, so what was the first one? It says from the director of Tombstone and Cobra. All right, so a Western and an action film. Okay, now, so if you're big into those films, you're going to like the movie, right? That's what you're thinking about. Other one is Peter Weller, RoboCop. Well, listen, a lot of guys like RoboCop, and a lot of people like it. Now, if that's you, you're going, oh, well, I like the actor in RoboCop, therefore I'm going to love him in this. Now, don't get me wrong, he does a great job. He carries his film. But those are little hints that they're trying to throw out there. So if you see that on a movie poster, get alarmed really, really quick and do your research. Because there's a high percentage chance that this movie or that movie that they're talking about has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with those movies. We're just trying to plant a little hypnosis kind of seed into your mind there, so you go, ooh, I like. But put it this way: this is a movie about a rat. And in those two taglines, we're feeding you the cheese. Because we want you to go, yum, yum, yum. I want to watch that. Just a little play they do there. The other taglines are just a little too wordy, a little too long. You know, it's just a matter of getting your tagline down shorter, making it clearer, and more precise. So with that being said, let's move right along. This film is the debut cinema of actress Shannon Tweed, and it's also the first leading starring role in a film or television production for actor Peter Weller. It's referenced in Leviathan from 1989, and my opinion of the film. Now, how to put this? You know, rats are probably one of the cinema's most popular animals in horror, okay? So you got movies about rats. That's going to be squirmish for a lot of people. That's really at the top of the scale. From there, you would have to say that insects are probably a really close second. Really, really close second. I would actually try to say that insects, that sort of thing, that goes to the front of the pack. It really does freak a lot of people out. And then you could say rats. If you're curious, spiders and then snakes would then trail down that kind of path for you. So for me, it's insects should be first and rats the second. But you know, people do go back and forth on that one a lot for different reasons. It could be the sound of a rat out. That kind of sound. That freaks out people. When I do that in the movie theater, the people around me just get all freaked out. I don't know why. You know, I just go with, why did everybody get freaked out? And they just go, with you stop doing animal sounds. You're freaking us out here. You know, I don't know. Anyway, the focus is more on a battle between man and rat than providing a sort of a true horror. But you got to understand, this is from the 80s. It's produced well. It's a fine film. It never goes too deep into any one character. How should I put it? I think it's kind of like a fun movie. It really is. And it fun in the sense of how certain people react. Fun for Peter Weller. I think he does like a great job in the film. Is it that really over the top? You know, are you really going to be enthralled? I would say no. It's not going to be something that's going to really freak a lot of people out. And again, if you got a thing about rats, then yes, it will. But for the most part, how should I put this? If you're looking for a good rat movie, Willard is a great movie. That's a great one you should watch. Okay, that just works. Ben is another good one. Food of the Gods could be pretty good too. Deadly Eyes is not a bad one. So, you know, those are your better rat movies, but if you want to, you can enjoy this one. I did find this was given to me on a DVD-R, just to be aware of that. So with that being said, we're going to be playing two tracks here for everybody. First up is a band called, and I'm just going to spell this out, it's N-O-I-J-A with the track Unknown. This artist is found on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and thanks for going out to holdtight.co. Which is also found on Instagram and Facebook. And then we're also going to be playing a track here from the Jasons with the track Kill a C. I don't know what Kill a C means, what a C stands for, but that's what we have it as, Kill a C. Elevator Music Version. So they're found on Facebook and Bandcamp. So enjoy these two tracks.
When I'm in bliss, I'm lying in for hell. It's like I'm hoping for misery inside of my head. It's all hanging by a thread, and I don't wanna be sick. I don't wanna be sick. We'll be right back. for so long, hell's been feeling like my home. For so long, I've been speaking for other tongues. For so long, hell's been feeling like my home. For so long, I've been speaking for other tongues. But I don't wanna be saved.
So, listen, before I get into Monday here, you guys are probably listening to the show either through the Horror Times Facebook site. You can also listen to this from the Horror Times website. You scroll down the podcast to find Baron Crazy's Visions of Horror, Season 1, Episode 37. And that way, you'll also be able to get a hint into, of course, all the films I'm discussing. You'll find links and different things for many of them. All right, so Monday, November 27th, the film was The Lift from 1983, rated R, 1 hour and 35 minutes long, celebrating another 40-year anniversary. The genres were horror, sci-fi, and mystery. The director and writer of this particular film was Dick Maas. That's M-A-A-S. I hope I got that one right. I tried. He was, again, also the writer. And the stars of this particular film, we're going to get the Google Translator to give us a little help on that.
Hoob Staple, Willeke Van Amelrooy, Josine Van Dalsum.
All right, thank you very much. All right, the company put out the film was known as Columbia EMI Warner, also Arcade Pictures. A summary. There is something very wrong with the elevator in a stylish office high-rise. the passengers never end up on the floor of their choice. They end up dead. When Felix, an inquisitive repairman, investigates a faulty death trap, he discovers that something other than malfunctioning machinery is to blame. Some dark, distorted power has gained control of the elevator for its own evil design. After his horrifying discovery is given the shaft by the authorities, he joins a nosy female journalist to battle the unholy force inside the lift. All right, so the rating for this was a 6.1 out of 10. I would say a six is good on this one, maybe a 5.5 depending, but I would try to hold to a six. The original release date was May 11th, 1983. Tagline, it's a bit long, so here we go. Take the stairs. For God's sake, take the stairs. All right. I said it was long. I didn't say it was good. It just, you know, has that, oh, well, what are you going to do? Okay, I guess that's a nice way of saying that. I'll just leave it there. I won't go any further. A long breath there should have given you an indication of what I thought. Anyway, trivia. All the actors performed their own stunts, as there were no actual stuntmen on this film. For instance, to keep the actors safe, in a scene where one person's head, I'm going to eliminate the person's name because I want you to watch the film, not for me to give away any spoilers, gets their head stuck in the elevator doors, was filmed backwards. A steel bar was placed below the elevator as a safeguard, but there were no genuine concerns whether the bar could actually hold the elevator if it broke loose. Jeez! You know, some people were like, well, were there concerns? Concerns. You know, make people just like shrug their shoulders and go with, hey, you know, things happen. Yeah, yeah. Someone could have literally lost their head. What has always been one of my pieces of advice for people, whether it's on this show or The Baron's Crypt, which again is returning and definitely in 2024. And that has always been safety, safety, safety. Make sure you know what you're getting yourself into before anything goes wrong. Because, face it, you only get one shot at some of this stuff. And if it goes completely wrong quite quickly, you got a problem. Lloyd Kaufman, the owner of Trauma Films, he is always about safety. Again and again and again and again. He wants everybody to be on the same page. Everybody should know the safety protocols. Everybody should do everything on safety. Safety is key. We've all seen enough films and know enough things that when that doesn't happen on a set, things will go very wrong very quickly. All right. This film is referenced in Monster Dog from 84, Amsterdam from 88, The Hollow Man from 2000, and Final Destination 2 from 2003. It was remade as The Shaft in 2001. So, what are my thoughts on this film? Well, let's be honest. The film doesn't have any gory kills, except one decapitation scene. There's really a less of a body count, but there's a good amount of tension that is maintained. You know, the elevators are in place. They're functioning improperly. The passengers are being incapacitated. You know, could have caused some sort of human error. You know what I find with this film? It's a little ahead of its time in certain ways. You know, how computers and different things start to, you know, override the normal operating procedure of them. Almost like acting intelligently on their own with total disregard for human safety. You know, you think about, is it almost like AI there? A couple of these films always seem to always get a little ahead of themselves, like Fear.com or Ghost in the Machine. These movies, they bring up this technology standpoint, but they're always a little too far ahead of where the general public can understand things. They go, well, look, people know what an elevator is. They've all been in one. Yes. And we've all had an elevator that, for one reason or another, didn't maintain itself quite correctly. It's stopped, it's started, it's not lining up with the floors correctly. I've been in those. And they're a real pain in the ass, especially if you've got to haul equipment from an elevator onto a floor. And you suddenly realize, hey, to get on this floor, we have to climb up what it feels like to be a lot. And that can be really bad, you know, if somebody's handicapped or something. So, you know, everybody's aware of that. You know, it does have that aggressiveness by both the elevator and the employer, both trying almost like battle for a control there. So, like I said, there is that good tension in there, but it's really actually very light on gore. And any real exploitable kind of moments, they're not all there. The script, I think, does possess some passing interest as it touches on that technology evolution, if you would. But that may some people may find this film dated. I think that's a good word for it. I think you're going to find it dated. But if you can get it past some of that slow burn in the beginning, I think you can get into the tension building in the movie, and that may be a saving grace. So I would say go for that. The film right now is found on Tubi, so you can check it out there. All right, with that being said, we're going to be playing a track here from a artist named Alex Braun. It's Braun, and the track is Pinocchio. All right, so you guys heard Alex Braun, B-R-A-U-N, with the track Pinocchio. Just to let you know, Alex is found on Facebook, and the fans goes out to the label, echozone.de, found on Facebook, Bandcamp, and Twitter. All right, so welcome to Tuesday, November 28th. The film I saw was Pin from 1988, rated R, 1 hour and 43 minutes in length, celebrating a 35th anniversary. The genre for this is a horror thriller. The director was Sanders Stern. The writer was Sanders Stern and Andrew Niederman. It stars David Hewlett, Cynthia Preston, and Terry O'Quinn. The company they put it out was New World Pictures. Okay, so a little summary. Isolated by his strange parents, Leon finds solace in an imaginary friend, which happens to be an anatomy doll from his father's doctor's office. Unfortunately, the doctor begins to take over Leon's life and his sister's life as well. This film got a internet movie rating of 6.5 out of 10. Original release date was November 25th of 1988. Now, as for some taglines, yes, we do have a few. We actually have six of them. So here we go. Is Pin alive? Leon knows, but no one believes him. All right, next one. A plastic nightmare. Number three. A journey beyond the edge of fear and madness. Number four. Brother, sister, murder, sin. Number five. And now the horror will begin. And lastly, Leon has only one friend. And obviously that would be Pin. So, this film is referenced in Matinee from 1989 and the film May from 2002. It features the film Scanners from 1981. Now, how to put this quite easily for you to understand. I remember when this film came out in 88, very hard film to find at the time. In fact, to pick up a VHS copy of this movie back in 88, it was super rarity to find, would have cost you then $90. I know. Insane, right? You might be able to find it for a good price nowadays. It took a long time for it to become available. It's a rarity to find. If you do find it, you know, you should pick it up. It is an offbeat kind of movie. I'm going to tell you that right now. It is truly a low-budget film, but a high psychology type of an adventure, if you would. It's slow pace. It's slow burn. It is going to creep up on you. It's a really deep sleeper, truly slow burn. Obviously, Pin is short for Pinocchio, so you get that kind of feeling there. The very stern doctor, played by Terry O'Quinn, is really good. I mean, that is just wonderfully done. And of course, you got the obsessive, compulsive, clean freak mother. I mean, so extreme in the film. It's really great. I almost kind of got like an OCD kind of thing going on with her. That is really tension building there. So that could be a good element for you. And of course, again, you know, we have the play of the child, right? The child's world is enclosed. The corruption of some kind is inevitable. We know that. And of course, again, this medical doll, if you would, almost as a surrogate for the parental control of the children. The parents themselves are so screwed up and they're involved in their own little worlds, almost as if the children were something that, since society says we should have two children, then we should have two children, and that they did that. But they're really only in their own little worlds, totally oblivious to what's going on in their family dynamics. And that's kind of interesting there. I mean, the film is dark. I'm not going to lie about that to anybody. Moody, yes. I would even say that it is highly sexualized, loaded, both in language and in style. There's some elements in this film that are going to be grim. The voice of Pin is extremely disturbing for certain people. I did watch this with a few other people. And, you know, you can start seeing that shifting of certain people when they watch this movie, almost like going with, what the hell are we watching? I mean, the scenes are fascinating. Maybe they won't be really unnerving for a hardcore horror fan, but depending on where you rank, and some of your friends may rank in here as maybe not as hardcore as yourself, they're gonna have that little moment, if you would. And in this film, I guarantee that's going to happen for certain people. Not everybody. Not everybody's going to be that way. I mean, look, I'm just kind of shock-proof. It is very hard for something to shock me. But I watched this film with a few other people, and I saw them having that moment of, okay, you know, this is really weird. This is really a psychological slow burn meltdown. So you have to be aware of that. So Pin is not going to be for everybody, but if you get the opportunity and you're really big into writing your own scripts, you're really big into writing books or things, or you're just looking for something to help with maybe enhancing your acting abilities in different ways, this is going to be a good film. This is a film that you can really use. I guarantee you, there's not a lot of people out here using this as a character study, but it could be very interesting for certain people. All right, with that being said, we're going to be playing another track here. The band's name is Dur, and then it's K-L-I-N-K-E, from what we understand the translation to be The Handle. The track is The Doll, and I'll tell you right now, you guys can find this band through a Wix site.com, also Bandcamp and Facebook. Things are going out to the label. It's Echo Zone. Gave that information already. You guys don't need to hear it from me again, so enjoy this track. everyone. Welcome to Wednesday, November 29th. And the film was Someone's Watching Me. From 1978, this is a TV movie, not rated, 1 hour and 37 minutes, celebrating a 45-year anniversary. The genres for this is horror, mystery, and thriller. And the director and writer was John Carpenter. Yes, that John Carpenter. Now, as for the stars, we're going to ask the Google Translator for a little help, because I know I'll at least screw up one of these names.
Lauren Hutton, Adrian Barbeau, Charles Cyphers, David Burney, Granger Hines.
All right, so there you go. The company put it out was NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. As for a summary, a woman is being watched in her apartment by a stranger who also calls and torments her. A cat and mouse game begins. The rating, 6.6 out of 10. Original release date was November 29th of 1978. And we have one tagline. The lost John Carpenter suspense classic. Never before on video or DVD. So there you guys go. Now, that was his tagline. I should mention that for more than two decades, the movie was basically known as the lost Carpenter film, right? The scarce availability, and it was finally released on DVD in 2007. So, one, the film is found, and two, it is on DVD. So the tagline is invalid. You would think, with them finding the movie and releasing it on DVD, that somebody would have said, hey, maybe we should give it a new tagline. Nah, why would we do that? That would be too much for people to understand. Yeah, okay. There is also a great scene in here. When Lee turns to look out her window, there's the Hitchcock zoom, which is used in the Vertigo effect, which is also known as the Hitchcock zoom, was first used in the film Vertigo. This camera technique is created by simultaneously zooming in while the dialing out, or vice versa. So this zoom shot, you've seen in movies before. A lot of films have done it, and they have all known as the Hitchcock zoom technique. This film, of course, references Rear Window from 1954 and North by Northwest from 1959. Now, my opinion. Okay. Lauren Hutton, she moves into this fancy apartment building. She starts receiving these mysterious phone calls and presence. And we, the audience, know that this stalker lives in the building across from hers and that he is watching her every move. He is truly obsessed with her. And we all know when someone in these kind of movies is watching, it never turns out well. I mean, right there off the bat, you also get a little hint of Psycho. Yes. We got that voyeuristic moment happening in the film. It's very clear cut what's occurring there. And of course, I think that really does translate quite clear for people to understand. Now look, I'll be honest. For a lot of people, there's not a lot that's happening. The film's got a very slow build up to a very good finality of the movie. John Carpenter, I think, does something truly fresh and really, really lets his creativity soar in this movie. Again, it came out in 78 as a TV movie. He had a busy year going on. So, yes, this is truly a lost movie for many people. The cinematography, especially those POV, makes one think of Dario Argentino. It also, to me, hints a little of almost a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde film from 41. There's a little bit of that point of view that's captured in that movie. And, of course, oh, it's just layered in Hitchcock. Everything is Hitchcock all over the place. And, of course, John Carpenter has admitted to the fact that he was inspired both by Dario and Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, both of them did inspire him. And despite the low budget, I mean, that's clear, okay? It was made for television, so we know that. This story will hold your attention. I think it does a good job at that. I think the stalker and the prey really tense. There's a lot of suspense in here. But again, you just have to get past that awkward introduction. For whatever reason, the introduction is just, I don't want to say stilted, but just feels awkward. Like there's just almost if he filmed it, and then when he went to the editing, he either knew or he saw that there was a problem, and he tried to cover it. And that's why the introduction just feels a little forced. It doesn't come across nice and smooth. But if you can overlook that small little detail, I think you'll find this film to be great. And especially if you're a Carpenter fan and you go, oh, I've seen all this Carpenter's work. Really? Did you see this? Because I guarantee you, you haven't. Someone did lend me a DVD of this. That's how I saw the film. The trailer that we put up is just a promo spot. We really don't have a full trailer for the film. So be aware of that. With that being said, we are going to play a track here for you all. It is from Madeline Darling with the track Somebody's Watching Me. The artist is found on Instagram, Facebook, and Bandcamp. And thanks goes out to Retro Synth Music, found on Facebook and Bandcamp. So enjoy.
Girl, with an average life, I work.
right, so you notice there I played another track. It was Pegasus. The track was The Headless Horseman. They are found on Facebook. I also want to note there was no film for November 30th, Thursday. And here we are at Friday, December the 1st. And just a purely note for some of those who care, the film for Friday would be marking the 501st film that I saw in this year of 2023. And that film is The Headless Horseman from 2007, rated R, 1 hour and 27 minutes in length. Is not celebrating any anniversary. It is horror. And of course, a little help from the Google Translator on both the, well, I should say, really the director, the writers, and the cast. So the director was
Anthony C. Ferranti.
And for the writers,
Zachary Weintraub, Anthony C. Ferranti, Washington Irving.
And then, of course, for the cast,
Richard Mall, Billy Aaron Brown, Ariane Fraser, Trish Corin, M. Stephen Felty.
Okay. And for the company that put it out was First Look International. Summary. All right, the summary. Seven college kids take a shortcut on their way to a party and unfortunately end up in Wormwood, a lost town in the middle of nowhere. They find something strange and sinister happening there. Bones and weird decorations line Main Street. The cause? Local Wormwood legend says on All Hallows Eve, 100 years ago, a crazed man tortured the youngsters in town and then cut off their heads. In revenge, the townspeople killed him by cutting off his head. Seeking revenge every 7 years, he returns and takes seven heads from children in town. Now the seven visitors find themselves hunted one by one as the headless horseman claims his due. Each will die whatever it takes to survive. Okay, so that's the summary. The rating, 3.9. That's being generous. I give it a 3.5. A lot of cliches in this movie. Release date was October 27th of 2007. There are no taglines. The film was actually filmed in Bucharest, Romania. Some trivia for you. The junkyard scene in the movie is real. Several years prior to the film's production, a yard worker was crushed to death by a piece of heavy machinery, which was driven by another employee to move the junk cars. Rumors soon arose that the junkyard was haunted by his ghost. The film production had already begun before anyone involved in the movie learned of this legend. As a precautionary measure, a local priest was asked to perform a blessing on the location. In appreciation, the production company made a charitable donation to the priest's church. Nothing out of the ordinary happened at first, but it was soon reported that unexplained lights were seen floating around the empty set in the late evening and then throughout the night. Also, several windows of junk cars mysteriously shattered for no apparent reason during the daytime while the crew members were nearby. The priest returned to perform blessings each morning at sunrise. He also went to the nearby cemetery where the yard worker was buried and anointed the stone entranceway with holy oil, an act of holy, I know I'll screw this up, so it's UNCTION, in the Orthodox Christian tradition of an almsgiving. Food and new clothing was purchased subsequently and donated to several local charities near the junkyard. Oddly, no other unusual incidents were reported during the production. This film is referenced in Org, or Ogre, maybe that's how it's pronounced. I think it's Ogre, excuse me, a TV movie from 2008, and a reference in Sleepy Hollow from 1999. Now, as for my opinion, look, we got the usual formula, right? A bunch of 20-somethings are on a road trip, they're on a shortcut, they run into trouble. So there's really little originality in the film. And it's kind of shoddy, special effects. You know, the script, you can tell, was probably written, rewritten, and rewritten again a few times. And it just never comes across as a workable storyline. It is, though, believe it or not, watchable. And the cast is competent. Richard Mull is present in the film. The practical effects look good. And again, I watched this movie just for Richard Mull's role in the film. You know, we lost him this year, and just to see him in this film was just a way for me to kind of honor him. Sadly, it does kind of go off the trail a bit, even though there's a trail, and it just doesn't seem to follow the original storyline of the Headless Horseman. Again, that special effects, you can just tell where it's not working right, so the cutaway shots are done. The cliches are just so abound in this movie. If you're of drinking age, you could have some fun with the cliches that are in the movie. But otherwise, like I said, it's just a cliche type of movie, what you would find on a typical sci-fi channel. It's okay for the low-budget flick that you have. You can find it on Tubi, and basically that's really it. And with that being said, we're going to play here a couple tracks actually for you, about three of them. So first up is going to be Deathless Legacy with the track Headless Horseman. They are found on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks goes out to the label Scarlet Records, found on Instagram, Bandcamp, and Facebook. Then it's going to be Scarecrow with the track Macabre, excuse me, which is found on Facebook and Bandcamp. And then we're going to play The Evil Streaks with the track Danse Macabre. And this band is found on Bandcamp and Facebook.
Inside.
right, welcome to Saturday, December 2nd, with Phil Mercott from 1958. This has got a rating of passed, and that means it's generally accepted for all audiences, 1 hour and 12 minutes in length, 65-year anniversary. Genres are horror, crime, and drama. Director is William Castle. Writers are Rob White and Anthony Butcher. The film stars William Prince, Jim Backus, Christine White, Jacqueline Scott, Susan Morrow, Dorothy Morris, Howard Hoffman, and Ellen Corby. The company they put out was Allied Artist Pictures. Summary: a doctor's daughter is kidnapped and buried alive. He is given just 5 hours to find and rescue her. The rating for this is a 5.7, excuse me. Original release date was October 1958. All right, taglines. There's quite a few of them. Some of these are off the original poster. I will, of course, tell you that. Also, I will be giving these the emphasis that they require. So if you think I'm shouting, I am not. I am just giving the emphasis for the words, if you would. Here we go. The greatest showman in a decade, backed by a sensational ticket-selling campaign from Allied Artists. All right, next one. 100,000 in case of death by fright. Original poster. I don't think they made 100,000. I think somebody's misput that comma. I think that was supposed to be just 1,000. 100,000 would sound insane, but I didn't write it, so I'm just reading how it is. Next up, there will be a sharp penalty for anyone who reveals the ending. This was off the original poster, all in caps. Also off another original poster. We hung the cameraman to keep him from disclosing the terrifying surprises. All right, another one off another original poster. See you with someone who can carry you home. All right. Lastly, on the original poster, here we go. If it frightens you to death, you'll be buried free of charge. All right. And then a few others that they just had. See you with someone who can carry you home. And then we have, so terrifying, we have to ensure your life. Next up, if it frightens you to death, you'll be buried free of charge. And let's see here, we got three more to go. As blood-chilling as being buried alive. All right, two more. Macabre means horror. All right, and here we go. And this one, they do have the number correct. So here we go. So terrifying, we insure you for 1,000 against death by fright. Not valid for persons with heart or nervous conditions. So the other one had it at 100,000, which was obviously a error in the comma placement. And this has it correct with the 1,000. In fact, I look at that other one, I bet you that the comma should have been actually a period and not a comma. But, you know, I didn't design it and I didn't type it in, so I just put it down as the way it is. Now, the trivia. In some theaters, fake nurses were hired to be in attendance in the lobby, and hearses and ambulances were parked outside. Also, this is the first of William Castle's gimmick films. In this one, the admission included 1,000 insurance policy against death by fright issued by Lords of London. All right. Referenced in The Beast Must Die in 74. Fear in the Dark, which was a TV movie from 1991. And Spying Tingler, the William Castle story from 2007. It was featured in Horrible Horror, a video from 1986. All right. My views on this. First of all, it's a little bit more cheesy than creepy. Let's get that straight. And this is William Castle's first excursion into the horror genre, and it's not really scary. It's a murder mystery story, if you would. There's got a lot of dislikable characters in it. There's a hint to a grisly crime. But it gets bogged down somewhere in the middle there. There's a lot of flashback sequences that kind of drag the story in the wrong direction, if you would. The performances, they are what you would expect for a low-budget movie like this. It does achieve some curiosity throughout the film. It's a little bit of an unusual way maybe to start liking William Castle films. I would say if you haven't seen William Castle films, you want to start with maybe 13 Ghosts or House on Haunted Hill, just to kind of give you a better entry point than watching this. This is not going to satisfy true classic horror fans. It's just not going to work for you all. I can tell you that right now. There are little, how should I put it? There are little points, little touches that will later develop from what he does here into that true Castle work that we find later on. There's little humorous touches, little chills, but it's not there just yet. There's just enough of an ample shock for the really for the most mild viewer. This is the type of film that a guy would take his girl to the film, you know, have her intrigued by it, get a little scared, okay? But this is truly not true Castle work. I mean, it's, yes, his work, but it's not there yet. It's missing that oomph that we all come to really know what he does. But I think for his very first horror entry, it's not too bad. It does try this gimmick of the insurance policy. Other filmmakers would use similar tactics like this later on. Which is fine. I don't mind that. There's only a few people out there who still had an original insurance paperwork, if you would, for this movie. So that was something that was handed out to people. So, you know, some people kept it. A lot of people tossed it. Don't have it anymore. But if you do have it, it's a really nice item to have of horror history. But otherwise, like I said, you can take it. You can leave it. You know, it's not going to like ruin you your entire weekend if you saw this movie. So I would say watch it if you're a true horror fan. If you really are and you like classic horror, watch it. You can't lose anything. You can find it on Tubi. Also on this particular day, I did see Violent Night from 2022. And with that being said, we're going to close it out here with two tracks. First off is going to be Zombie Hater. With the track A Violent Night, and kind of an ode to the movie Violent Night. The band is found on Facebook, Instagram, and Bandcamp. And then, of course, our custom here to close out with Envenomed with the track Horror Movie, the Skyhook cover track. You're going to find them on Bandcamp, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you for tuning in to Baron Craze's Visions of Horror, Season 1, Episode 37. We will have the other episodes up as soon as we can get them up there. And again, please take the time to like the Horror Times, to like the Baron's Crypt, you can even like me on Facebook, and of course on Instagram. That's always cool. And otherwise, enjoy the nightmarish visions that you can find anywhere. It's always good to have that that choice that you make. But do you trust your friends to make the choice for you? I don't know. Could be a fun dare. Enjoy. On the violent night, baby, are you wonderful? What a beautiful sight. Although you're breathing, you're bleeding, I hope your heart's not bleeding. You'll be my moment to lie. Your hope and temper stand alive, and looking down on 45 and 2 minutes. Oh, the agony in your insurance. Well, look, it doesn't matter, baby.
scenes. Maybe you don't care who's gonna lose or win. Listen to this and I'll tell you something.